Now let us see how we can bring ourselves into an attitude of prayer or an altitude of prayer whereby we will be able to bring the Spirit of God upon us so that that Spirit may work in us and through us for its purposes, for its glory. And you will remember that by the ministry of the Master, we know that its will is only good. Remember, the will of the Father is that we be well, completely whole. That is why the Master healed all manner of diseases, so that he might prove to us that the will of God is that we be whole, complete. And he demonstrated supply in order to prove that it is God's will that we have abundance, sufficient for our needs always, and 12 baskets full left over. That it is God's will that storms do not destroy us, or any other form of evil. But that we may experience God's grace is evident that there is something for us to do, because without doing it, we are not receiving God's grace. If again you study the Master, you will see what an important word is the word you or ye. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall pray for your enemies. Ye shall forgive those that persecute you. Ye shall forgive 70 times 7 those that offend thee. Ye shall do this. Ye shall not do that. Every word of the Master's teaching is aimed at you or ye. Every word of it is something that we must do, or something that we are doing that we must not do. So it is that whatever of God's grace is to be brought into our experience must be brought by an activity of our own consciousness. Now you may accept that as a definite principle, and you will never find it violated, that whatever good is to be, spiritual good, is to be brought into our experience must be brought by some activity of our own consciousness. In other words, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye must do something. You must pray without ceasing, Paul says. We must do all of these things if we are to bring this harmony, this grace, into our experience. And now let us do something. Let us close our eyes for a moment and let us think about the sun setting this evening. And let us realize it has already happened. We didn't pray that it should happen. We didn't know the truth that it should happen. We didn't give the sun a treatment that it should set, nor did we appeal to God. Up until this moment, we probably didn't even think about the sun setting on time, yet it did. Now we're going to think about the sun rising tomorrow morning, but also we're going to think how futile it would be for us to try, through any means we know, prayer or treatment, mental or physical power, to make the sun rise one single second before its ordained time. Think, as you sit here now, see, if you like, in your mind's eye, the sun rising, and see that all that you can do is be a beholder of God in action, the law in action, nature in action, whatever name you wish. As long as you see that you can only be a beholder of the sun setting, the sun rising, but that you yourself cannot influence those things, nor can you by any known means bring the power of God to set the sun or rise the sun, or delay it or hasten it. I can of my own self do nothing but bear witness to God in action. Now let us hasten out to the beach and notice the tide either going out or coming in. And let us again note, there's really nothing I can do to hasten its going out or its coming in or to delay these. I have absolutely no influence over those tides, nor have I any influence with God that would cause God for any reason to change the incoming and outgoing tides. Therefore, I can stand at this beach and behold the law at work that brings the tides in and out at their appointed time. Now let us take a stroll out into your garden or over into the park, and let us notice the trees in bloom, the flowers blooming, the buds not yet opened. And see how helpless you are to change anything within range of your eyes in this garden. You can neither open the buds nor close them. You can neither hasten their opening nor delay their opening. Nor can you make thistles grow on fig trees, or apples on rose bushes. You can be still and know that I, the presence of God within you, is the only power. Be still and know that I, the Spirit of God alone, governs his universe. We are witnesses to God's government of the sun, moon, and stars. We are witnesses to the movement of the tides by whatever law of nature may be operating. We are witnesses to the fact that there is a law of like begetting like. Roses must come from rose bushes, apples from apple trees. There is a law, and we are witnesses to the operation of that law, to the activity of the law, and we are witnesses to the fruitage. Just think, there are nuts on the nut trees, fruit on the fruit trees, flowers on the flower bushes, like begetting like, a law in operation. We have no power to change any of this scene, and we have no influence with God that would cause God to do differently than God is doing. Let us look down into the ground Note in some places the huge deposits of coal, iron, copper, gold, silver, diamonds. And let us remember not only that we had nothing to do with their being there, we had no government or control or influence over God that would cause God to produce them or to withhold them. Please notice all of this wealth in the ground. And notice that we are witnesses to the fact that it is there. And many more things are in the ground that we have not yet discovered or discovered a use for. Let us look down into the ocean. We know by recent discoveries how many things there are in the ocean for which we have not yet found the purpose or use or utilization. We know of the beds of pearls down there. And how many other forms of wealth? And above all things, we know that we are not responsible for them being there. Neither you nor I, nor our parents, nor grandparents, nor ancestors had anything to do with that which is in the ground and that which is in the sea, but all of us are witnesses to the fact that God's grace has filled this earth and the seas and the air above the earth and the heavens and the planets. We are witnesses to law in action. We are witnesses to God in action, to a creative, intelligent force, power, authority. We are witnesses to a divine nature operating universally, impersonally, impartially. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now in your mind's eye, just glance around, sun, moon, stars, tides, what is in the ground and in the sea, what is in the air above and what is in the heavens above, and acknowledge that you are a witness to God's glory, that you can acknowledge that God made the heavens and the earth and the waters, that there is a divine principle, law, soul, intelligence, operating in this universe, and that man is not responsible for any of it, nor has man any influence upon the God that is responsible. I am emphasizing this point. You know full well that you have had no influence on the fullness of the earth and all that there is therein. You know that you have had no responsibility for the laws operating in our universe. That is clear to you. You can quickly say with the Master, I can of my own self do nothing. I can only bear witness to what the Father is doing and has done and is forever doing. For God is the same yesterday and today and forever. That which God is doing, God has always been doing. That which God has always been doing, God will always be doing. For God is the same yesterday, today and forever. All of these phenomena of nature, which we have just talked about, remember, this has been going on since the beginning of time. It will go on unto the end of time. For I, the Spirit of God within you, will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As I was with Abraham, so I am with you. The Spirit of God that has been the activity and the law, the creative principle of this universe, does not stop. It is from everlasting unto everlasting, and we will always be able to say with the Master, I can of my own self do nothing. I bear witness that the Father within me doeth the works, that the Father within me is the creative principle of this universe and of all that is therein, and of all the laws that govern the universe. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keepeth the watch, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I can of my own self do nothing, not build houses, and not be a good watchman, except the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, except the Lord work in me and through me, I can of my own self do nothing. I bear witness that there is a presence and a power, and that it is responsible for the creating, maintaining, and sustaining of the universe. And I am a witness to its activity. Now I emphasize again, we have no influence upon that creative principle. We cannot make it do anything or cause it to stop doing something. Therefore, in this very moment of our meditation, let us humbly acknowledge that we have no influence over God. Now, this will be one of the most important moments of your entire life, because it is going to change your whole concept of prayer and enable you to pray righteous prayer, the efficacious prayer, prayer is our means of contact with God. But think now on what is being revealed to us in this moment. We have no influence upon God. We cannot cause God to do something, nor can we stop God from doing anything that is going on. And in this very moment, you, of your own accord, can see why it is folly to reach out to God, to have God do something for you, or for your patients, or for your students, or for your family. You can see now that you can rest and take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. You shall take no thought for your life whatsoever. Why? Your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Does this not change your prayer immediately? Your Father knoweth. Do not try anymore to tell God. Do not try to enlighten God. And above all, do not try to influence God. For you cannot influence God on your behalf or your families, or your patients, or your students. And then what is your prayer? Your prayer is that of an attitude and an altitude. Be a beholder. Be a witness of God at work. Now, if there is someone to whom you wish to bring healing, yourself or another, remain as you are, eyes closed, in an attitude of seeing, witnessing God at work, just as you will look into your garden and watch the buds open into flowers, or as you will watch the buds on fruit trees turn into or become fruit, knowing that you have no power to make it so or hasten it so, that you only have the power to be still and bear witness that it is happening. And so in your mind's eye now, remember, you are not appealing to God to heal anyone. You are not turning to God to be healed or to heal. You are now witnessing God at work. The presence of the Father within, the invisible presence which appears outwardly as the harmony. We call it healing, but it isn't. It is the coming into visible sight of the invisible harmony that is always there, but now it is coming into visibility because of our knowing the truth. Not because of any influence that we have on God or with God. For be assured, we haven't. God is no respecter of persons, not of any person. But we are beholders. And we acknowledge that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except God maintain the harmony and the peace, the health, the wholeness, the completeness, it would be folly for us to try to bring it about. Now, once you have come to this place where you can sit, let us say, with some person's sickness in your mind, and say to yourself, I no longer reach out to God for help. I no longer try to influence God on anyone's behalf. But I do know this, that because of omnipresence, because God is everywhere equally present, that the activity of God is now taking place. It is not to be sought, not to be pleaded for, not to be affirmed into existence. It is now. Omnipresence itself. Here present where I am, there present where you are, there present where he is, she is, it is. Omnipresence itself, and I acknowledge this, and I am now a beholder of the invisible, the divine, manifesting outwardly as a perfect creation. And because I have seen that there are not two powers. Don't forget this. There are not two powers. There is no power of sin or disease, no power of nature operating to withhold God and the fruits of God. There is no evil power in all of this universe. There are not two powers. And we have been in sin and disease and in death because of the acceptance of the universal belief in two powers. But here and now I know that God is omnipotent, and this means the all or only power, and besides God, besides the power of this invisible spirit, there is no other power. There is no power in the whirlwind. God is not in the whirlwind or the storm. God is not in the sin, and God is not in the disease, and there is no other power. The only carnal mind there is the belief that there are two powers, and the only place that you can overcome the carnal mind is in your own consciousness. And you don't overcome it as if the carnal mind or mortal mind were some enemy or enmity that you had to fight. The carnal mind is just a universal belief in two powers that you no longer believe in. The reason you no longer believe in it is you no longer have the same concept of God that you formerly had. Something to which you pray to overcome something, you've lost that concept of God, and now what you understand of the nature of God is this, that God is not to be appealed to. God is not to be influenced. God is not to be asked to do something. God is to be understood as the very spiritual, incorporeal, omnipotent presence that is here and now, and besides which there is nothing else. Ye shall know the truth. Take no thought for your life, but rest in the truth that your heavenly Father, the divine intelligence that is closer to you than breathing, knoweth your need. And because its nature is divine love, it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As you be still and know that I, the presence of God in the midst of you, is the only power, and we are bearing witness to this truth. We are sitting absolutely relaxed from any desire to seek a God power. We are relaxed from any effort to inform God or influence God or send God to someone we know. We are satisfied to sit here in the silence and witness God at work, acknowledge God in all our ways. Acknowledge that God now fills the earth and the heavens and all the places beneath the earth. That God operates, here we come to the word. Here it is. Roses come from rose bushes because of a grace in operation. It is the grace of God, the will of God or law of God, that rose bushes bear roses, apple trees bear trees. Now we have it. This earth, and everyone in it and on it, and on all the other planets as well, is governed by a grace of God, which means the will of God, the power of God. the will of God and the power of God is expressed through His grace. Not by might, not by power, not by trying to use a mental might, not by trying to find some spiritual power, not by might, not by power, but by God's grace. God's grace formed all that exists. Creation is not in the seed of a child, because the seed had to have a creator, and the seed had to be given its properties. A rose seed had to be given the properties of a rose, and the seed of a child had to be given the properties of the child. The fertilizing seed had to be given the powers of fertilization. All of this comes as the result of an invisible law at work. A law that we do not influence, a law that we do not control, but a law to which we can bear witness. We can sit here in the silence and think of that law that is operating, that results in the seed, in the male and in the female, in the animals and the plants. And just think, there is something operating invisibly to place these seeds where they are. All of the visible is made of the substance of something invisible and of an invisible activity. Now, the activity that results in sin and disease and in storms, this activity is a universal belief in two powers operating hypnotically in consciousness. Every negative experience is the result of a universal belief in two powers, but since one with God is a majority, the one we call the practitioner is the authority through knowing the truth that prevents the operation of this carnal mind by knowing the truth that there is no power in the carnal mind, for the carnal mind is but a belief in two powers. And this belief, in your case, in mind, is now without a believer. Here we are, two or more gathered together in the realization that I, God, in the midst of me, is the all power and the only power. I, God, in the midst of everyone on the face of the globe, and those who have been here before, and those who are yet to come. I, God, in the midst of them, is the only power. And this universal belief in a power apart from God now dies. It dies in my consciousness and yours as we acknowledge the invisible as omnipotence. Be still and know that I, in the midst of you, the indwelling Father or Christ, is the infinite all power, and there is no other power. Therefore, there is no power of evil, no power of sin, no power of disease, because there is no power in the carnal mind, the belief in two powers. Now you are bearing witness to truth. You are bearing witness. You're not causing anything. You're not using any powers. You are bearing witness to the truth that I, in the midst of you, the still small voice, the presence of God or Christ, in the midst of you is the only power functioning in heaven and earth and all places in between. And that we know now that devil, Satan, carnal mind, mortal mind, is but a universal belief in two powers without any foundation or law. And in this, we are bearing witness to the truth that makes us free. In this, we are giving the treatment that results in freedom. In this, we are praying without ceasing. There is no prayer in going to God for anything. There is no prayer in trying to influence God on someone's behalf. There is no prayer using spiritual power. The only prayer is bearing witness to truth, communing within in the realization that the Father within me, He doeth the works. It is His good pleasure to give us harmony and peace on earth. Not merely you or me or your family or mine. God is no respecter of persons. Whatever is true is universally true. And therefore, I am only bearing witness when I know that God constitutes the life, mind, soul, spirit, and being of every individual on earth. And besides God, there are no others on earth. And this that has been causing earth's troubles is the universally accepted Adamic belief that there are two powers. In our renouncing of two powers, in our acknowledging that there is only one power and I, in the midst of me, am that power, I am bearing witness to truth and I am praying in the highest attitude and highest altitude of prayer. In other words, it is as much as if I were relaxing and saying, thank God there is a God. I need only rest. Rest in His word. Out here is only temporal power or a belief in two powers. And then rest in that word. And then watch as harmony begins to appear. It is almost as if you were looking over your own shoulder and watching harmony as it comes into your experience. Not by anything you've done, not by any favor that God is doing you, but because you are living, moving, and having your being as a witness to God in action, as you are a witness to truth, not a manipulator of truth, not a wielder of truth. You can't use truth. But you can watch how truth can use you. You can watch how truth can manifest itself in our experience as we more and more become witnesses. Now that's what we are. And that's what we have been told in Scripture, that we are to bear witness. We are to be witnesses of God in action. We are not to whip God into action, not by prayers, not by treatments, not by any belief that we have greater wisdom than God's and can tell God, or that we have more love than God has and we can make God more loving. Let us acknowledge here and now that any belief we have ever entertained that we can bring God to do something in us or through us or for us or for anyone else has been a misconception of God. Let us acknowledge that God is, that God is infinite, omnipresence, omnipotence. Let us acknowledge that God is no respecter of persons. There's neither Jew nor Greek in the sight of God. There's neither bond nor free in the sight of God. There's not even saint or sinner in the sight of God. And we only fall out of attunement with God because we have accepted two powers, an evil power which we fear. You have witnessed in these past weeks the fear that is being generated in this world. How can anyone generate fear in themselves or in another if they actually understand God as infinite? Tell me how you can ever generate fear if you believe in God. How can you generate fear in yourself, or how can you permit anyone else to generate a fear in you if you have caught the slightest glimpse of what brought the infinite way into being? And what brought it into being? This very thing that I am telling you tonight, that there is a way to remove every evil from the face of the globe, and we have that way. You have it, I have it, and anyone else has it who can grasp this truth of the omnipresence of God within you, wherever you are, whoever you are, and the fact that God is omnipotence. Beside God, there is no other, and that the only evil there ever has been in the world has come forth from accepting a power apart from God and then fearing what it can do to you. But Scripture says, fear not what mortal man can do to you. Fear not. Fear not what temporal powers can do to you. Why? God is the all power and the only power. You as an individual can prove this, starting with any minor healings that may be necessary in your family circle, by holding fast to the truth that the only power is the kingdom of God that's within me, and that this that is claiming power is only an effect, a product of a universal belief in two powers. Then you'll see that as you bring out little healings here and there, minor ones, that it only is necessary to keep at it until you are bringing out major ones, and by then you will see what we are attempting in this infinite way work, and that is removing the source of evil. And the source of evil in the world isn't man or woman or groups of men or women. The source of evil is a universal belief in two powers that really acts hypnotically upon us, mesmerically. But the moment that we begin to realize omnipotence, and omnipresence and omniscience, that your Heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Don't try to force them to give it to you. Don't try to influence them in anyone's behalf. Sit quietly and bear witness. Bear witness. If we have an air cooling apparatus in this room, the switch is on, we merely bear witness to it in operation. We don't sit around trying to make it operate, and we don't pray about its operation. We just bear witness and enjoy it. There is a principle of life that governs electricity and electronics There is a presence and power in the world that governs the consciousness of mankind, even as we have proven in these experiments with traffic, with strikes, with labor. There is a divine power, influence, activity that operates in men's consciousness the moment one or more knows the truth. The truth that there is but one power, and that it is only the acceptance of a belief in two powers that has caused our trouble. And the moment we withdraw from the belief in two powers and acknowledge, except the Lord build a house, there's going to be no house. Thou, Pilate, by any name or nature, can have no power over me or this world, except that were given thee of God. And then you see the whole nature of Pilate has to change. So it is, as you work with human relationships, and you will find this especially helpful in the book Practicing the Presence. There is a chapter, Love Thy Neighbor, and in The Art of Spiritual Healing, there is a chapter, Relationship of Oneness. When you catch the principle that is in those two chapters and come to the realization of that truth, you will soon see how other people's nature will change toward you. Now, you're not going to reach out and try to make them any different than they are. You are going to know the truth within yourself that there is but one self, and that there is no presence or power in any other self, and therefore that self is myself and yourself, and his self and herself. And there is only one self in the whole family of men. And then as you see how their attitude changes towards you, you will see why we have been fruitful in our larger corporate work. Because without anyone knowing what has been taking place, their nature has changed. Their will has changed. Their purpose has changed. Nobody gave them a treatment. Oh, don't think anybody in our work would sit around giving anyone a treatment or try to stop them being bad if they want to be. Our treatments are self-treatments. I treat myself in this manner, that I know that God constitutes my selfhood. But unless I were very egotistic, I would have to acknowledge that if God constitutes my selfhood, God constitutes your selfhood. And the moment I've acknowledged that, I'm loving my neighbor as myself. I'm declaring that you, my neighbor, have the same selfhood I have. God is that selfhood. And the moment I acknowledge that God is your selfhood, your whole attitude changes. You become much more godly, or son of godly, or daughter of godly. The moment someone stops malpracticing you, judging you, condemning you, lifts the guilt off of your shoulders and acknowledges, why, the same God that constitutes my being constitutes your being, you'll find you are released. And all of a sudden you're acting like the child of God, as you were meant to. So it is. We are not asking God to change this universe. We're not asking God to change you or our enemies. We are turning within ourselves to acknowledge that if the Lord built the house, the Lord built your house and mine. If your mind and body and being is the temple of God, God built that temple. Therefore, God is your temple as well as my temple. God is your selfhood and my selfhood. Now you see there's no malpractice going on. Therefore, there is no response to malpractice. You know, there is a belief that one person can malpractice another person. The only form of malpractice there is self-malpractice. Every time you actually think that another person is good or evil, you're malpracticing, and that malpractice must come back upon yourself because there is but one self. When you realize the spiritual nature of individual identity, you have stopped self-malpractice, and you now are loving your neighbor as yourself. There's only one way spiritually to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that is to know that our neighbor is ourself, and that ourself is our neighbor, because God is myself. Therefore, God is yourself. And the moment I can see you in that light, you and I are more than neighbors. We are friends. We're more than friends. We're brothers and sisters. And we're even more than brothers and sisters. We're the one self, just made manifest in different forms. Now, do you see how all of this takes place without any going to God to have God change me or have God change you? Health is restored in the same way. Release God from any responsibility for your health. Release God from any responsibility for doing anything for you. And just acknowledge that God has been doing God's work since the beginning of time, and God can be trusted to keep on doing God's work till the end of time. Just let God do it, and you become a beholder. You become a witness of God in action. And so if you're sitting at the bedside of someone who is sick, don't be there as a doer, an actor, a beer. Sit there as a beholder, a witness, and bear witness as harmony is restored by the grace of the God that you are acknowledging. By the grace of the God, not the grace of God that you're bringing into the experience. You won't be able afterward to go out and say, look what a wonderful healer I am, or what a great understanding I have. You will only be able to say, oh, how wonderful that I've learned to be a witness to God in action, to bear witness to truth. Then you'll know why the Master was not indulging in any mock humility when he said, I can of my own self do nothing. He wasn't trying to be modest. He was telling us the truth. I can of my own self do nothing. It is the Father within me that doeth the works. The Father that knoweth in advance what things ye have need of. The Father whose good pleasure it is to give you the kingdom. And the Father who has no devil or Satan to oppose his will and his way. Because there is no God but God. No power but the power of God. No law but spiritual law. And all you're doing is bearing witness to that. You're not making it happen. You're bearing witness to it. And then, when healings take place, for the first time, you'll know the real meaning of humility. Once you witness an actual healing, you will know for all time the true meaning of humility. Because it will strike you clearly that you had nothing whatsoever to do with it. You were just the silent witness to the operation of truth. You were the silent witness to the truth that there is no power but God. That you need not fear the power of sin or the power of disease or the power of death or the power of tyrants. You need not fear temporal power after you've once witnessed a healing, because you will know How foolish ever to fear what mortal man can do, what mortal mind can do, what mortal anything can do. Once you have borne witness to the truth, there is but one power. And always remember, you don't contact this power somewhere. This is the power that is incorporated in your own being. The power which, after you've gone far enough with prayer, you'll be able to say as the Master did, I am that power. I am the truth. I am life eternal. I am the divine. But until you reach there, at least acknowledge that this power, presence, and divinity is within you, closer to you than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, and that it has no opposition, no opposite, no devil to fight, no Satan to fight, no mortal mind to fight, no carnal mind to fight, because beside me, the I within, there is no power. Beside me, Isaiah says, there is no God. Beside me, the power in me, there are no evil powers, no evil presence. I and my Father are one, and in that oneness is the all power in heaven and on earth and everywhere else. I and my Father are one, and in that oneness, I am the spiritual law. I am the spiritual life. I, the Father within me, is the spiritual life, the spiritual law. And I don't exercise power. I don't use power. And I don't send spiritual power out to anyone. I only acknowledge that God in the midst of you is already the power. It doesn't have to be sent there. I merely bear witness that it is there. And those of you who haven't known this, all of a sudden discover that there are harmonious effects in your own experience. But remember, the harmonious effects couldn't come if the harmonious cause wasn't right there within you. We as practitioners do not exercise power over you, nor do we exercise power with God, nor do we have power with God or influence God. Our function as a practitioner is to bear witness to this truth. The kingdom of God is within you. It knoweth your need before you do. Because it is divine love, it is its pleasure to supply you. And above all, thank God, there are not two powers in the world. There are no powers opposed to God. There are no laws opposed to spiritual law. And only the universally held belief in two powers has caused our trouble. Now I, as one, am a majority in my realization of God as the one and only power, and as I bear witness to that, those who turn to me for help find it. You become this same law in any moment that you wish, any moment that you can perceive that the kingdom of God is closer to you than breathing. The whole kingdom of God, of power, is within you, and you don't have to use it. You just bear witness to its being there. You'll find yourself doing the same work because it's all in acknowledgement. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Lean not unto your own understanding. Except the Lord build a house. You bear witness to the infinite power that is within you and then realize that there are no other powers. You have nothing to fear, no pilots, no storms, no temporal powers. You have nothing to fear because there are not two powers. You are restored to Eden, the Garden of Eden before the fall, in the moment that you become that pure, that you no longer behold iniquity. When you no longer believe that there are powers of evil, you are restored to the Father's house. You are robed and jeweled as an heir, joint heir of God. In that moment, when you can acknowledge, my function isn't to use God, my function isn't to get the power of God, my function is to bear witness still small voice is within me. The presence and the power of God is within me. I don't have to beg, plead, or affirm. I have to know. The kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there. It is not in holy mountains or temples in Jerusalem. The kingdom of God, power of life, of love, of rehabilitation, the power of transformation, the power of the renewing, is within me, within you. It is a universal, impersonal presence, impartial, spiritual. And because its nature is omniscience, it knows our need. And because its nature is love, it is its good pleasure to fulfill itself in us. Not for my glory or yours, for its glory. The heavens show forth the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. And more than heaven and earth, I am to show forth God's glory by letting his glory flow through me. I can do all things through Christ. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. I bear witness to the fact that there is a divinity within me that is living my life and going before me to make the crooked places straight, going before me to establish me and my work. I bear witness to this. I don't make it happen. And I also bear witness to the fact that there are no carnal powers to obstruct or interfere, for there are no powers but God. And then I have to act that way. When the threat of a temporal power reaches my awareness, it is up to me then to be still and know. To be still and know. Bear witness. Remember Daniel in the lion's den, doing nothing. His back turned to the danger, because he didn't fear it. And being there mute and still. And what happens? The lions never open their mouths. Why? He, Daniel, was bearing witness to the fact that the same God that was his life was the life of the lion. The same presence within him was the presence within the lions, for we are one, not two. Love thy neighbor as thyself, even the animal neighbors, vegetable and mineral neighbors too. Understand that we all share the same life. Bear witness to God in action. Give up the attempt to use. Give up the attempt to influence. Give up the attempt to change God or yourself. And just live the life of a witness. Thank you.